Sweat? You mean armpit tears of weakness brought about by poor deodorant choices? Say goodbye to that salty river that floweth from your underarm with Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Made for 24/7 sweat protection with daily use and an undeniable smell of cedarwood and lime. Mmm. Giving you the confidence you need to quit your job, move to a remote island, and spend your days frolicking with dolphins. Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Shop Old Spice now.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we reached the second half of the show, and we're really looking forward to getting some different perspectives. And our next guest, Jay Williams, has had some very strong comments on what has been going on. About 11 hours ago, I was honored to be on his program, KJNM, on ESPN Radio and ESPN2, and Jay Williams joins us on this program. Jay, it's really great to have you on. I know there's a lot happening in the sports world, but we're really eager to hear your thoughts as not only a former player on many levels, but somebody who watches the world of intercollegiate athletics with great interest. Good afternoon, and tell us what your thoughts are on this little feud down in the SEC. Good afternoon.
Well, first of all, Paul, I really appreciate you allowing me to be on your show, man. I've been a fan of yours for a while. I know you and I have had a lot of candid conversations, and I always enjoy learning from you and hearing your insight on things. You know, for me, I grew up an Ohio State football fan. For my parents, the Ohio State, as they've trained me properly to say my whole life, we'll save Ryan Day for a different time. But even Steve Spurrier jumping in this, my once Duke head coach, the drama that you guys have going on down there is just on next level. And I got to be honest, I'm here for it. I feel like in a way I want everybody to get up their moral high ground here. And, you know, even reading Steve Spurrier's commentary about, you know, he doesn't, disagree with Nick on his comments being made. We all know what the business of this sport has always been. The challenge is going to be how do we be transparent with what the business of the sport is. But, you know, look, first off, I think that Nick seemed loose, Paul. You've known Nick a lot longer than I have. I've spent some time with him. I spoke at his organization. I understand also coming from the tree line of Coach K how serious they take things that they say, and there's a lot of intent behind what they say and when they choose to say it. And I think Nick seemed like he was loose in that environment. And I get that when you have to, generate, donors and create a little bit of a rally cry behind how you're doing. I think, the line was overstepped by Nick, but also I think by Jimbo here. When you start attacking people saying you know where the dead bodies are, that was disappointing to me. Like, it just became disappointing for the SEC. A little bit. And then obviously the stuff on Deion Sanders took me down a different path, frankly, Paul.
Yeah, and I want to talk about the Deion Sanders path, because we've obviously obsessed for 2 days over Jimbo Fisher, but I heard you talk about that earlier, and I want the audience to hear when you heard that, what you thought, and has much changed since then?
No. I first off thought, trying to look at things practically, Paul. SEC rivals, he just beat you, number one recruiting class, assistant still doesn't say him by his name in the somewhat apology, understood all that. But when it kind of came to Deion, it just came out of left field to me personally. I've interviewed and I've spent time with Deion, and I had him on my podcast on NPR called The Limits a couple of different times. And when you start hearing about how he's had to legitimately hustle to help the school with this business acumen in general, what some of their TV deals were like, some of the issues around busing and funding for different games, even the way he had to work Under Armour for an Under Armour relationship for their team, and how he's had to kind of allow other people to buy into his brand. Like, there was a lot of sacrifice that went there to do that. And, I don't understand that, because for me, it's like, why are you why are you attacking a guy that's giving back to his community at a historically black college? Like, I don't understand that one bit, Paul. And you have done Aflac commercials with him. You have spent time with him. It just felt like one of those jabs out of nowhere. And for me, like, when you start jabbing people like that, you feel the heat. You feel the competitive heat. So you start throwing little darts, you know, and that's also a sign that lets me know that what Deion Sanders is doing at Jackson State is working, because he's completely disrupting the model. And the last thing I'll say about it, Paul, you know, when I hear Nick Saban talk about, you know, this is about a team first mentality, I understand that. But also, you're talking about, you know, a lot of young kids, majority African-American, that are going into, you know, that will have a chance to learn how to brand themselves and market themselves. And what I see Deion doing down there, whether people like it or not, with Barstool Sports, is he's helping young players understand their profile and how to build their image and how to be careful and diligent about how they manage their brand, right? So it's almost a curriculum that I think we're doing a disjustice to all of our kids if we aren't teaching them how to navigate social media. We've been on TV breaking down stuff about whether NFL players like or unlike a team and what kind of news that generates. Like, that takes practice to learn how to deal with that, an experience. So it just became a little bit personal to me because I spent time with Deion. I see how tough it's been, and he could leverage it. He's going to do it extremely successfully well, but it takes a certain person to come back and say, I will be part of this, and I will help create, you know, the next level within the black community. I'm going to be honest with you, because a lot of people don't come back and do things like that.
Talking to Jay Williams. Jay, you played for arguably one of the two greatest basketball coaches of all time. We can save that debate for some other time. I think it's already happened. But and you know Saban, so I'm asking you to compare, because I don't remember. I mean, I've read books on Coach K, but I don't remember anyone ever really, you know, other than Carolina fans poking at the Bear, you know, saying what we heard from Jimbo Fisher yesterday. Now, again, it's an opinion. It's not substantiated, but he worked for the man. This is not just some idle player who was in and out of there. Can you help you know, bring some focus on Coach K in particular, and how those allegations compare to anything you've heard about your own coach?
You know, obviously there's not to that degree. You know, you heard stuff about Lance Thomas and things around that kind of circulated, but then kind of dissipated. But that was about a player. I can't, in any of my experiences, you know, say that I've heard another coach, another powerful coach. I mean, that would be the equivalent of a guy like Tommy Amaker, even about all that stuff that happened about who was supposed to get the job and what, if Tommy Amaker had said something about Coach K, what that would have been. So this to me is, Paul, this is a major blow. It's a major blow when one of your own disciples, you have such a fractured relationship that happens so publicly and extremely polarizing, to almost to a degree announce, yes, I know where all the dead bodies are buried. Opens up a huge can of worms on a guy that we all considered the greatest coach of all time in college football. Those are some hell of allegations that are going to create a lot of conversations.
Yeah, no, I just remember when one of the books on Coach K came out a few months ago. I mean, most of it was about, you know, Bob Knight and things like that. It was not about somebody who had won a national championship with you as an assistant and won by himself as a head coach, and who's also beaten you, which just kind of adds to the dilemma. Overall, you're so close.
Well,
to
I was
so
also
many...
going to say real quick, the fact that he got asked, did you talk to Nick? And he said, no, Nick called, and I just, no, we're done. Like, wow. You know, like that Like that it became extreme. It already became personal. I mean, you announced how many times he said the word. I forget exactly what the word was. Yeah,
15.
All that. That's incredible to me. I've never seen a car accident happen in slow motion like this before between two powerful entities. Especially considering the history, I've never seen it.
No, and finally on the. on the front of maybe getting something changed. You're very influential in intercollegiate athletics. You know how the structure works, and we're all pretty pessimistic. Do you see anything happening on the horizon?
So, like, what I suggested today, and I'm curious to get your opinion on this, Paul. So, you know, I do a lot of business. I invest in a lot of companies, and a lot of public companies, which I feel like every university should be treated to a degree now that we're getting into revenue making and this kind of, it's not a rev share, but obviously NIL deals, is regardless of whether the NIL deal comes from an alumni from the school or somebody else, you're getting free market price, and I think they should make it transparent. Like, I think you should be able to see, and look, it's business. This is capitalism. Is it going to take, I think we still conflate cheating with now what the market allows you to do in a way, right? So I think just being more realistic that if you're at American Express, you could probably spend, because they make more than other schools, than other credit cards. It's just maybe sometimes the way it works, or they generate more revenue. So I think just being transparent, or having some kind of governing body that helps all the schools become transparent with what guys are making, then you know what it is and you know what these deals are.
Fantastic conversation. Jay, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you making time for us, and it's always so much fun to be with you.
Well, Paul, I appreciate you too, man, and I will stay tuned to listen to more to you break things down, and always appreciate your opinion, brother.
Thank you very much. See you soon. Jay Williams, of course, the great Duke star and the co-host of KJ and M. We'll take a short break. We have a lot to do. It's Friday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We're back and rolling along here on a Friday afternoon. I-Man is next.
Well, good afternoon, Paul Feinbaum. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
There's nothing like a little Jimi Hendrix coming back to the show. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Step inside, step inside. Well, Emerson Lake Palmer there for you. You know, Paul, I've been working, and all of a sudden I come back and I turn the radio on, and what a mess have we. Has Jimbo Fisher gone up to the wall and pushed Humpty Dumpty's ass off that wall and cracked that shell, and yolk running everywhere. Raw yolk here, raw yolk there, raw yolk running down the leg. Now, Jimbo Fisher was a Terry Bowden coach, and he was also associated with Bobby Bowden. Matter of fact, wasn't Jimbo Bobby Bowden's coach in waiting?
He sure was.
And Jimbo didn't wait too long, did he? And pushed old Bobby out the way. Pushed old Bobby out the way. And you know what? He was a scumbag at Florida State. And that's what everybody said. Jimbo comes to Texas A&M. Oh, he's a great guy. He's a great guy. Look at him. Look at it. $10 million a year, that's real damn money, Paul Feinbaum. That's real money. And so are we surprised that Jimbo is leaning over and taking the GOAT, I mean the University of Alabama, Nick Saban, and pushing him around like a peon, like a pawn on a chessboard? We are not surprised one bit. And I tell you, as an Auburn fan, and everything they tried to do behind the scenes with Harsin, I don't care about A&M, and I certainly don't care about the Tuscaloosa campus. And it couldn't be a better breath fresh of air. I mean, this is good radio here. And I tell you, we've seen little Nick, when he gets mad and throws his tantrums, we've seen him on the sidelines, we've seen him at his press conferences, but everybody is made up. You know, that's just, he's sending a message. He's sending a message. Y'all listen. He's sending a message. And it sounds like
he knows what he's calculated. He never says anything that he doesn't think about.
That's right. And Jimbo apparently don't give a damn. Because Jimbo knows where the bodies have been.
Ooh, he does.
He knows where their bones are, Paul. I'm telling you. This has turned in forensic files, first 48 hours. I mean, this is one of them good ones. I mean, and we thought the Southwestern Conference was dirty and nasty and raw, but we're seeing it in the SEC. And we're seeing it right here between the Bowdens and the Sabins. And of course, Jimbo. And you know, it's obvious when Jimbo ain't scared. And he don't give a damn what Nick Saban thinks. And we've seen Nick, when he got out thought, he goes into these little petulant rants. And you even said Nick probably did not want to say that, but guess what? He said it. He said it. And he kept talking, and he kept talking. And then you're guessing, well, Jimbo's just probably going to go back coaching. But I bet Nick Saban's staying up late at night right now. And this deal with Dion, I mean, what was Nick thinking? Don't Black Lives Matter anymore? Have a good day.
Mike is up next in Bessemer, Alabama. Hello, Mike.
Hey, wow, I had to wait a long time. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much.
I just say this, I'm a first-time caller and a many years listener, and I love the thing. So, real quickly, Nick and Jimbo. Okay, that's a personal thing, but I think Jimbo, he sort of made it personal as far as I'm concerned. The word that Nick said is that they are all paying for players. I mean, that they are paying for players. He never said Jimbo is paying for players or the coach is. He just said they're all paid for their players. That represents the university. So he said, well, ask any coach that coaches Nick, they'll tell you what Nick is doing. That's personal. Anyway, that's between them and between those two. It's stupid, full time concern anyway, okay? One thing I will say, just right here, you want to let those kids get money, and I agree with that they should get money. I wish they were giving me money like that when I was playing football and everything. But a five-star player, y'all give him $50,000, $40,000 for a four-star, 3-2-1 on down the line. One star being he gets $10,000, okay? Like the NFL. And if they perform and they do real good the next year, they get an increase. That's what it's going to boil down to anyway. Of the besides, Paul, it's one thing that's in the Bible. It's not the love of money. It's for the love of money. It's getting out of hand. It's been out of hand. Nick was right. We never bought a player, and I'm a diehard fan, but people are making it personal. It's just all that's going on. All the players that he's getting, just wait until October and let's see what's going to happen then. Game on, baby. Love that song, Paul, and thanks for taking my
call.
Thank
you, Mike. It's a pleasure to talk to you. You be well. You take care of yourself. Let's check in with Harrison in South Carolina. Hello, Harrison.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for the opportunity. This has made great radio, but I want to put all this in context. And what I mean by context is everybody has internet access. And what I would encourage people to do is to go listen to the full-length speech, if you will, that Nick Saban was giving. First of all, it was in front of a group of boosters, and he was on stage, and he was not asked a question by a reporter. He was speaking in context of the NIL rules and how it's a new ball game, quote-unquote new ball game, new era of rules and operation. And if you look at that video in the full and take it in context, it is not personal. It is not personal with Jimbo. It's not personal with Deion. He does not mention them by name. And he is speaking in that video in context of NIL rules and how it is a different ballgame. Now, I got to tell you, I'm a casual fan. I was conceived, born, raised, and graduated from Auburn. You know, I'm a War Eagle, and I'm looking at this like someone on a jury. And there's a lot of insinuation that it was making it personal, but you've got to look at the context in which Nick served up that information. And the only mistake that I see, again, I'm looking at it as a casual fan, as a juror, he needed to correct the way he used the word bought. He was using that in the old context of the old way in which players would come to programs. And in context of everything he was saying up on that stage was relative to the NIL rules, nothing to do with the other programs. And he was charging up the boosters in his audience. Folks, this is a new era. Y'all need to be on board with this. That was the context. Now, let me real quick go to what Jimbo did. He didn't digest any of that and went straight to the microphone and came across as a hot-headed adolescent. I would hate to be the athletic director at Texas A&M because he's going to have problems mopping up the just childish rant of Jimbo. And that, when it's all said and done, Nick can clean up what he said by just correcting what he meant by bought. So that's my comments. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you very, very much for joining us. Let's check in next with Matt, who is in Ohio. Hello, Matt.
Yeah, hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
So, a little bit what that caller just said. I just think Jimbo Fisher just completely swung and missed on this. He had an opportunity here. We've seen, as you're the guy that was called in earlier, the journalist that's worked with Saban in the past, he talked about the no-huddle offense and some other things that have kind of gotten in Saban's way. So it's not the first time that he's kind of publicly ranted about it. Never anything out of control, but he's done this before, kind of complained about something that it's going to take a big adjustment for him. So he comes out and says this, and all Jimbo had to do was this was a classic high road situation. It would have made Saban look bad. He could have just said, you know, this is the way things are right now, and we're proud of our recruiting class, and you know what, we're building something here. We got some big wins last year, including against him. And I can't spend too much time worrying about this. I'm going to go. He put the blame on this thing down the middle, if not shifted it over to him and made a bigger deal out of it than it ever needed to be. He could have made Saban look angry. He could have made him look like the childish one. He could have even made him look like the grumpy old man who maybe needs to step out of this if he can't get used to it. But he missed an opportunity for all of that, and he blew this thing up times 10. I just think that he made a monster mistake by the way he handled it. That's my first thought.
It seems like he got into a brawl that he knew he was going to lose, but he just wanted to draw blood.
Yeah, that's like your last caller just said. It was like petulant child. It was like
You're at the bar and you just walk up to the biggest guy in the bar and take a swing at him. You do connect because the guys are sitting there having a beer, and then the guy stands up and cracks you over the head with a beer bottle and they carry you out. But you did get the first punch in though.
Yeah, so unnecessary. And I we got so personal about it. I mean, if Jimbo Fisher can look his players in the eye this week and the next few weeks and talk about, you know, putting blinders on and stay focused and don't worry about outside noise, and those players can even listen to that. There's just so many things.
Well, and the worst thing, too, I think, to your point, and I'll go, Jimbo Fisher's going to lose to Saban on October 8th. I mean, that's one of the easiest predictions of the year. It was easy to predict before this from a revenge standpoint. It's even easier to predict, and that's when he's going to end up looking bad. We'll take a break. We're going to College Station in a few minutes and see what the temperature is out there.
You're
listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back here, 90 minutes to go for the week, and what a week it has been. We've covered the Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban story from many, many angles. We want to go back to College Station and Owen Buchanan, who's been with us a number of times before. He's covered the Aggies for a few years, to put it charitably. Owen, good afternoon, and I want to ask how the weather is out there, what the temperature is. We know it's hot on every imaginable front. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Well, let's just get the reaction from the community. We know what Jimbo has said. We know what Ross Bjork has said. But you know, you're around that that town. What are people saying? And are they behind Jimbo Fisher completely? Are they concerned? Are they mixed? Where are they?
I can only speak to those that you know I've seen and heard from, and yeah, I'm sure there's out of the 250,000 people that live in this area, there may, you know, some have differences of opinion, but I would say the vast majority, 99%, are very happy with Jimbo and his reaction. They love it, and I think they he was already very, very popular, a very popular head coach here. And I think after his comments the other day, that popularity has only risen.
You know, and I understand fandom, but there's been so much criticism of what he said by reasonable people. I'm not talking about Alabama fans. What was there about what he said other than taking up for his players, even though Nick Saban never mentioned his players? He just said Texas A&M bought every player in the staff. What is there about what he said that fans are so energized and excited by?
Well, I think it's what you just said. He was defending his program. He was defending the players, those that you know, may not have been mentioned individually. You know, when you say everybody has been paid. I think that's pretty damaging. And I think they like the fact that their coach is not going to back down from what he believes is a lie and an injustice. And I think, you know, they respond to that. I think they want to see a tough coach and a coach that is very passionate and a coach that doesn't mind challenging even the greatest coach in the history of college football.
Oh, and we heard from Kiffin, Jimbo responded. Now we've heard from Saban, Jimbo has responded even harder. What do Texas A&M people feel like is the biggest misperception about what happened out there during recruiting?
Well, I think they feel like the biggest misconception is that that Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher were getting players to come to Texas A&M by either paying them directly or promising them, you know, tons of money. And if you come here, you find that, and I know you've been here, you find that A&M's facilities are as good as anybody's in the country and better than most, and that there's a great fan support, and that's a really good town to live in. And then you have a coach that's won a national championship that relates really well with players and kids that age, with a really good coaching staff, and that has won a national championship and trying to build something. And you have all those advantages and all those factors working for you. But this reaction is, well, none of that matters. The only thing that matters for A&M and for Jimbo Fisher to put together a great recruiting class was that they got it from NIL. And the fact of the matter is the majority of that class was assembled and committed before NIL was ever, I don't know what's the word, enacted, ratified, whatever. And a bunch of those guys are from Houston. Is this really a stretch that some great players from Houston would come to A&M? I don't think so. So there's this idea, I think, that A&M is some College Station is some leper colony outpost, that who would go there unless they were paid tons of money to be there. And I think people that live here find that offensive. I think Jimbo Fisher, who really likes it here, finds that offensive. And do they use is the NIL going to be used as a tool? Absolutely, just like it is everywhere else. And I think and Jimbo Fisher has been adamant to say that all they've done is say, hey, guys have come here and gotten NIL opportunities, and you'll get NIL opportunities perhaps as well, that they're potentially there. Now, you can choose to believe whether that was the way they sold it or not, but that's the position Jimbo has been adamant about. That they said, they told prospects, yeah, there have been NIL opportunities here, and some guys have done really well. Some of them have done really well with deals with Texags, but that they did not pay players or promise deals, because quite frankly that would be against the Texas State NIL laws.
Oh, and we've all, some, not you, but those of us in the media talking about this, have been somewhat guilty of associating the deep pockets of A&M, the oil barons, and trying to find some connectivity. I've even heard it from people in Tuscaloosa that they pointed toward the difference between that state versus Alabama. Can you explain the fan base? And I know it's large, and but are the purveyors of the media on the right track there, or is this just some perception that was created by someone else incorrectly?
What, did ever?
Texas A&M is just lathering in money out there because of the oil business.
Well, that and other things, you know. I mean, yeah, there's some Aggies that have made a lot of money in oil. There's some Aggies that made a lot of money in business. I'm not going to go down the list of all the companies, but I've heard that there's something like A&M's. I read has the most CEOs of Fortune 500 companies of anybody in the country or something like that. Don't have the actual numbers in front of me, but so yeah, there's a lot of Aggies that have done really well, and they're very passionate about their school, and they're proud of their football program and want to contribute to it, just like you see at a lot of other places. But you know what, there's a lot of Aggies that aren't rich that are wanting to now to contribute to NIL collectives, whether for, hey, all I can afford is $100 a month. Well, I'll put in $100 a month. So I think it's, yeah, there's a whole lot of rich Aggies, but there's a whole lot of guys that are just regular folks that also want to contribute because they love the program.
Oh, and finally, we all know what Jimbo Fisher said yesterday in relation to the phone call and the we're done line, as if that was the end of the road for two guys who I think most people who know both didn't think they were close friends anyway. They'll be convening, we'll all be convening in a week and a half. You would think, I don't know this, but you would think the conference, the SEC, would like to put this to bed, would like something from a photo op or the two walking out together or something to calm the waters. What are the chances of Jimbo Fisher going along with something like that to act like it's all good?
Well, you know, obviously based on what we saw yesterday, I would think the chances are pretty slim. However, we all know sometimes that giving somebody a few days and, you know, sometimes you cool down and you take a step back and you maybe, you know, reconsider all the past relationships you might have, whether it was a close friendship or whether it was just a, you know, a regular friendship or whatever. And you decide to let bygones be bygones, and that's certainly possible. But based, again, on what he said and the feeling I get right now, I think that would be unlikely by by spring meetings. Maybe if they're fortunate, maybe by media days in July, or maybe by October 8th.
Yeah. And you're right, and based on what you said at the top of the show, I'm not sure the fan base really wants to see a picture of Jimbo Fisher smiling with Nick Saban, do they?
I think that if Jimbo said, "Hey, we've mended fences," they would say, "Yeah, okay, but still go beat his ass in October." But as long as he wants to, or as long as he feels like there's an issue with Nick Saban and they're not and they're enemies now, I just think the A&M population is gonna back him up on that.
Appreciate your time very, very much. Owen Buchanan from TexAgs covering the same thing we're all talking about. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
"Thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options."
Which is why when you choose USAA Auto Insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today.
USAA.
Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
Mike is up next in Connecticut as we continue here. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
I am well, thank you.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Saban and Jimbo Fisher situation. I think Saban is being a little hypocritical. I mean, he's always going to have either one or two ranked teams. He's always going to be there at the end. We all know, he's the goat of college football. And I think taking a shot at Jimbo was a little unfair and a little hypocritical, I think. And I'm just interested to know what you think of that.
Well, I mean, the two comments that Saban made and what Jimbo made are completely different. Saban was venting, as he has known to do, about things he does not like. And he went to extremes. He said what he said privately, that A&M bought the class. He went on to make other accusations. Jimbo just made it a personal takedown of Nick Saban. So, I mean, Jimbo accused Saban of saying a lot of things he didn't say. However, you can also... if you're the head coach of a program and you get attacked by anyone, let alone Nick Saban, I would probably be defending myself. But he was also playing to his crowd. It's like a politician that's base politics. You just heard the guy a minute ago. Jimbo Fisher's approval rating in College Station right now is 99.9%.
Right. Didn't Saban also go after Deion, or say the same thing about Deion?
Yeah, he mentioned Deion. They mentioned Miami. He took a lot of people down.
He has the same, NIL. I mean, he has the same, same thing. He could do the same thing with that NIL. I mean, didn't this quarterback, sign $1 million deal?
He did, but we're talking about two different things. I mean, once you're on campus, you can – I mean, he's accusing A&M of selling deals to recruits. What Bryce Young did is perfectly legal within the framework. Hey, thanks for the call. Jay is up next. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Feinbaum? Are you doing all right today?
I am doing great. How about you?
I'm doing very well. I just wanted to say, with everything going on, it seems as if Mr. Coach Saban and Coach Fisher, they turned this into some kind of wrestling promo. I would love to see both of them in a cage match. That seems like some must-see TV.
Can you imagine if they're down together in a couple of weeks and Jimbo picks up a folding chair and tries to crack Saban over the head?
Exactly. I would love to see it too. This has been fun to watch and just see how it unfolds.
I know 156, the other 70. I know the younger guy, he's a little taller too, but I mean, Saban looks like he's got a mean left jab.
Oh yeah. That would be just, that would be fun to watch.
How much would you pay to watch those two guys duke it out?
That's what I was going to say. Seems like it would be one of those, like, you know how these YouTubers are doing their fights, or would it be just the main event at WrestleMania, you know?
Yeah, I think that we could get them in the main event. We'd get Ric Flair and Lane Kiffin in the prelim.
Exactly. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much. Can you believe Ric Flair is going to – he's 73 years old. Anyway, we're up against a break. We still have an hour to go. What a show it's been. What a week it's been. We continue with more of your phone calls right after this.